Well, you can open your Bibles this morning to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. Beginning with verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look upon him and pronounce him unclean. Father, we pray today for your Spirit's power, for your filling, Lord, of our hearts. And teach us today, by your Spirit, the things we need to know. Help us to see clearly, Father, this most important text, and truly embrace it, and Lord, walk in the truth of it. We bless you for being faithful in that, and we commit this study to you as we share in your word again, Lord, the marvelous things you show us, the amazing things we see in your holy scriptures. Bless this time, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. This whole 13th chapter of the book of Leviticus is about leprosy. Leprosy is that hideous disease that caused such severe disfiguration, causing people to look just incredibly ugly and awful. The pain that was endured through that particular disease, most of us have never experienced. Book of Leviticus, you know, as we've been going through it and talking about it, it's a book that deals with issues of the believer's walk and how we are to worship and how we are to be in a relationship with our God. The people of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, you know, and we looked at that whole story in the book of Exodus over and over again, how rich that was to see how they were delivered from the bondage of sin. But after the bondage of sin is broken, after deliverance has taken place, the penalty of their sin no longer being an issue, now it's time for these people of God to begin to walk with him and worship him. And this particular book, Leviticus, is all about worship and walking. Walking and worship. And how that's to be done, and what effects our living can have on those two particular elements of our life with God. As we saw in chapter 11, what the people ate had a great effect on how they walked. What they ate, their diet, you see. And we talked all about that last Sunday. But here we see in this chapter this dreadful disease and the effect it has on the believer in terms of their worship and their walk with God. Well, we don't have to worry about leprosy these days. We don't see leprosy going on around us. Well, here's the thing. In the Bible, leprosy is a picture, a type, an illustration of sin. Every time you see leprosy given in the scriptures, understand that it has to do with sin in the life of the person. Lepers in the scriptures represented sinners for us, you see. So in this chapter, there is a very profound truth about leprosy and its relation to all of us, every single one of us, in that it pictures the sins of a man. So if you belong to mankind, then Guess what? You're a leper. Because leprosy was a picture of the defilement that sin has in the life of people. Now, that particular issue, leprosy, it has a tremendous effect on these people, as we'll see. And it has a tremendous effect on me. Now, even though, again, folks, I am saved from the penalty of sin, I am not going to pay for one of my sins because of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. I will not pay the penalty, the price of eternal damnation for any sin I've ever committed. Neither will you if you belong to Him, if you've received Him. But I'll tell you something. Leprosy in my life, sin in my life, does have a tremendous effect on my worship and my walk with God. Sin causes me not to be able to walk, really. That's why we call it stumbling. And so many times Christians are doing nothing more than stumbling around. They look like they're stumbling, and their walk doesn't look like a walk. It looks like a stumble. They look like they've just tripped. I do that around this church. I don't know what it is around this church, but I walk along the carpet. There's nothing there, and yet I'll trip. And it doesn't seem like I tripped on anything, but you know what I tripped on? My feet. Tripped on me. Because I look, and the carpet's perfectly flat. Wasn't the carpet's fault. It was my fault. And that's what it is about sin. You might think, well, I just tripped. I didn't trip on anything. Oh, yes, you did. You didn't trip on something out here. You tripped on you. You don't have to have something external to trip on, do you? We find that within ourselves. A man is led away by his own lusts and enticed by his own desires to sin. So, it has this effect, though, on my worship and my walk. And sin, guys, will interfere with worship. It interferes with my walking. And there's 59 verses in this particular chapter of Leviticus, and I believe there's a reason for that. We are to take notice, pay attention to the danger of leprosy, the danger of sin in our lives, and take note and pay attention today. This is not a condemning message. It's a message of hope, unless, of course, you have no hope yet. Because, as we'll see, lepers were in real danger, real trouble. It was a real problem, as many of us have experienced. Real problems, real trouble. So in what ways, if you're going to take notes, there's some things you might want to jot down. In what ways does leprosy picture sin in the scriptures? Well, notice verse 2. When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising, a scab or a bright spot. If a person had this little spot on their skin, now it's amazing. It could be a sore or a scab or this little spot. Spot, a bright spot, my Bible says. It's in the King James, his flesh arising. You see, leprosy was the rising of the flesh, which is exactly what sin is, folks. My flesh starts to rise up, and that's when it becomes sinful. My flesh just waits for opportunities to rise. And when my flesh rises up, you see, it becomes sin. Because our flesh has a tendency, doesn't it, to rise up, to raise its ugly head, so to speak. Oh, sin starts with a little sore, doesn't it? A little spot. This little teeny thing, you see, that we think sometimes is insignificant, harmless really. It doesn't really matter that much. It's just this little thing that I do or think or entertain or I say, whatever it might be. But the trouble is, as verse 7 says, look at verse 7, if the scab spread, it's leprosy. If the sore spreads, it's leprosy, and that's exactly what sin does. Starts with this little dot, this little speck, a little rising of the flesh, And what happens then is it spreads. And it's true, isn't it? And it's an indication, guys, really, truly, of whether or not you are stumbling, so to speak, over a sin, or whether or not you are truly allowing, entertaining, and really feeding a sin. When a sin spreads, it's because it's been fed. If it just rises up and dies back down, as the scripture will tell us here, it's not leprosy. You see, it's the old adage. Remember David there on the rooftop, looking over his rooftop, seeing Bathsheba. If he were to walk back inside, it's not leprosy. But he didn't walk back inside. He stared and stared some more and stared some more. And before long, he was sinning, because the rising up of the flesh, you see, spread and turned into adultery and murder. So if it spreads, it's leprosy. And it's interesting about leprosy. If you study the disease, it's a fascinating thing, because oftentimes a person didn't know they had it until they lost sensitivity. What do you mean? The nerve endings in their body would lose feeling, and they couldn't feel. Ooh. Now, this is such a great description of sin, isn't it? They couldn't feel. They would bump into things with their hands, or they would bump into things with their faces, and they wouldn't feel it. They would be grinding at a wheel and gnaw off part of their finger and wouldn't feel it. Sin, you see, folks, one way that you know that sin is really, really starting to take root is that you lose sensitivity. You're not sensitive any longer. You don't feel anymore. And guys, I'll tell you, this is something that's really, really amazing to me, but it's true, isn't it? When you're in sin, if you let that sin keep going, what happens to you? Well, you start losing your feeling. You lose sensitivity, and after a while, you just are able to sin because you're getting hardened to it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, you can jot it down, look it up later. Paul says this, he says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth, you believers, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity or emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. Those that sin eventually lose their feeling. And this is something for us guys that we need to take note of. If you start losing sensitivity, what do you mean? Well, you know what I mean. You start losing that innate, God-given sensitivity to sin. Perhaps you lose sensitivity to others. Perhaps you lose sensitivity to something you do and it doesn't bother you as much anymore. Be very careful. You're losing your feeling. There's nothing worse for a believer than not to feel the ramifications in their heart, the hurt, the bitter anguish of their heart over sin. That's so dangerous. And it ruins your walk. And you won't worship when that happens. Well, you might pretend. You might come and sit, but what happens in your heart is not real. It's not real worship. You can't. You find yourself not caring about it either. And this is so tragic. And many, many believers are in that particular place. They don't worship. They don't feel. Well, they don't feel like worshiping, you see. And people get past their feelings. They lose sensitivity. And before you know it, you see, like the leper, they're starting to get disfigured. Now, another reason, and I need to establish why leprosy is like sin before we go into the rest of this, so bear with me. Another reason that leprosy is like sin is that leprosy, as verse 3 says, it looks like it starts in the skin of the flesh. Verse 3, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, you see. But notice, if the plague in his sight, the priest's sight, be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy. This is the deal. The plague of leprosy, the plague of sin, isn't just a superficial problem. This verse reveals the true heart of leprosy. It's down deeper than the skin. We always say, well, it's skin deep. You know, beauty's only skin deep. Well, leprosy's not. Sin's not. It's down deeper. How much deeper? It's in the heart. Leprosy is in the heart. Sin is in the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, that word that Jeremiah uses for wicked is sick, 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 sick. And not only sick, but beyond cure. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick and beyond cure. This is where the sin begins, down inside. Sin's not just a surface problem. And guys, we have a society that treats the surface problem. We're trying to rehabilitate the sinner. We're trying to rehabilitate the criminal. We're trying to rehabilitate the person by treating the surface problem. Saying, oh, well, he's got this tendency or he's got this problem, so here's what we'll do. We'll treat the problem on the surface. Well, does that do any good? No, because you see, the problem isn't on the surface, the outer flesh, that can be treated with medicine or therapy or anything else. Sin comes from deep within. It's under the skin. And the problem is, you see, there's no cure. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible is there ever given a cure for leprosy? No cure. It's incurable. The heart's desperately wicked and incurable. Our flesh can't be fixed. It's hopelessly sick. And the wages of sin is death. So, a leper who had leprosy under the skin, down deep in the heart, he was desperately beyond cure, wicked and sick, and had no hope, and the only thing left for him was death. Yuck. Yeah. Now, again, you could try and dress up if you were a leper. You know, you could put some stuff over the part of your nose that was missing and put, you know, pack some makeup on there. You could, you know, put on the gloves so nobody would see that half your fingers were gone. You could dress up and try and walk out. But as your skin started oozing on people, it would get kind of gross and people would go, are you okay? Because you look kind of like a leper. And you'd say, no, you know, as you're sitting there falling apart. A buddy of mine up in Salem, Steve Hopkins, I love this guy. He wrote a song to the tune of Yesterday, the Beatles song, but it was called Leprosy. And one of the lines, you know, sung to the tune of Yesterday, one of the lines was, leprosy, I'm not half the man I used to be. I've got pieces falling off of me. Pray for Steve. But you could try and pretend that you weren't a leper. You could try and patch yourself up or clean up or whatever, but the problem was is that your sinful, fleshly leper condition, you see, couldn't be fixed. You could dress it up, but it would never fix the heart that was behind it. And that's what people are trying to do so often, is trying to fix up the outside. And guys, being a Christian isn't walking because you think you're supposed to. Trying to be good because you think that's what a Christian's supposed to be. And so I dress myself up, but meanwhile, you know, I'm falling apart. It won't fix my heart to clean me up on the outside. In verse 3, you see, it says the priest will pronounce the leper unclean. And it means that he was defiled and unable to be a part of the worship, to be a part of the congregation, to be a part of walking with the other members of the body. It was a defiling thing. And don't we experience it? Don't you feel like that's so? You feel like it's, man, it's just so difficult for me to worship. It's so difficult for me to walk when I feel that heaviness and burden of sin. Now, third thing, and we'll get to the better part of this study, because I know this sounds like it's kind of heavy and depressing, but here's the thing. Third thing that leprosy did and resembles sin is over in verse 46 of this chapter. It says, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. Ultimately, leprosy would lead to death. And ultimately, sin will lead to eternal death, separation from God. But leprosy separated people from others. And you see, this is the truth of sin for us, guys. I got to tell you, the leper had to distance himself from his family, from his friends, from this community. He had to wear this piece of cloth over his upper lip. And whenever he got within 100 feet of anyone, he would have to shout out, unclean, unclean. He'd have to yell at them that he was an unclean leper. Leprosy causes separation, and sin will cause separation for us. It's sadly true. People are distanced from their wives, from their husbands, from their kids, from church because of sin, because of leprosy. It's the most common thing that happens to believers. Why there's no closeness in a marriage? Why there's no closeness in the family? Why there's no closeness to the body of Christ by those that supposedly are in the body? Because sin causes distance. A man who's caught up in some sin has a hard time being close to his wife. A man who's caught up in things that he ought not to be has a hard time being close to his kids. Distances himself. And inside, he's doing exactly what the leper's doing. He's shouting out from deep inside him, unclean! I am unclean, and I will have to keep my distance from my family. Because he knows. Just like the leper. And that's the sad thing about it. It separates us. It separates us from those that we love. It's a lonely life, isn't it? The leper lived a lonely, miserable life because of his leprosy. And listen, folks, if you want to be lonely and miserable, then sin and don't deal with it. It'll cause loneliness, separation, and you'll be miserable. It's the way it is. So you're saying then that sin starts small and then soon it spreads and takes over. It's deep down in my heart that the real trouble lies. And it causes separation from my family, from friends, from God ultimately. And you're saying there's no cure for it. Yep. Have a nice day. See you later. Well, this would be a bummer, wouldn't it? Leprosy would be a drag, wouldn't it? What would you do, you see? What do people with leprosy do if there's no cure? Well, this is the great part of the story. Because even though there was no cure for leprosy, there was something for the leper to do. Verse 2, it says there that if this man has the sore, this rising of the flesh in his skin, he's a leper, then he shall be brought unto Aaron, the high priest. The first thing that a person was to do if they thought they were a leper was to go to Aaron, the high priest, or one of the other priests. And guys, here's the thing. As a leper, the only thing that we can do initially as lepers, when you start to sense the fact that you're involved with leprosy, you're feeling that tendency within you welling up, that rising of the flesh, so to speak. You see that little flesh rising. Might be small, or it might have already spread and become rather large. Whatever the degree of the flesh rising or the leprosy in you, the first thing to be done is to come to the high priest. You come to Jesus Christ, our high priest, you see. But why would they go to the high priest? You just got through saying there's no cure. Why go to the high priest? Why go to our high priest if there's no cure for the leprosy? Ah, because even though there was no cure, no way to cure the leprosy, it couldn't be cured, but it could be cleansed. It could be cleansed, even though it couldn't be cured. The cleansing is what you always read about when it pertains to leprosy and the dealing with it. And it's interesting, the next chapter, chapter 14, tells us how the leper was to present himself when he was cleansed. When he was cleansed, he would go to the priest and present himself, and the priest would go through this whole ceremonial thing to show that he was truly a cleansed man or woman. The leper was cleansed. But they were never cured. We don't see anywhere the instructions for curing the leper. All we see is when they were cleansed, the priest would then say, okay, you're clean. But here's the interesting thing. There's no account. Listen, no account anywhere in the Old Testament of a leper being cleansed except for one. So all the instructions about how to cleanse a leper and all the rest and seeing this done and doing the ceremonial thing, it's not given to us except for one place, and that's in 2 Kings chapter 5 with a man named Naaman, who wasn't even a Jew. He was a Syrian. And if you recall the story, he went to Elisha the prophet, and he put himself in before Elisha, and Elisha told him to go dunk in the Jordan River 7 times. And he didn't want to. He thought he was above that. And finally his servants told him this Naaman. They said, Naaman, you're an idiot. Go dunk. What do you got to lose? You're a leper. Hello, you're a leper. You know, you're falling apart. Go dunk it. I mean, what do you got to lose? So he did, and he was cleansed. And there's a wonderful picture there, of course, of the cleansing, the 7 dunkings, the completed salvation of a man named Naaman. But that's the only place you will see an account of a leper, and it's never talked about as being a cure. He wasn't cured, Naaman, but he was cleansed. He was clean, you see. Now, the only other accounts we have of leprosy being cleansed is in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, that is Jesus, behold, a man full of leprosy. Now, this isn't just a little spot. This isn't just a little flesh risen up in his hand or in his head or somewhere else. This is full-blown leprosy. This man is fully a leper, consumed. Now, this man would have looked like a monster. There's a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, listen, fell on his face. a monstrous looking man, full of leprosy, sees Jesus, and his only response is to fall on his face and besought him, begged him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." You can make me clean if you are willing. And he put forth his hand, Jesus did, and he touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He didn't get cured. He got cleansed. And there's a difference. You can cure, listen folks, you can cure a disease, but it can come back. But once Jesus cleanses you, you're clean indeed, Jesus said. Oh, you may need your feet washed once in a while, but you're clean. And this is the beauty of salvation, isn't it? So here, Jesus literally, you see, cleanses a man. He cleanses him. Didn't cure him, cleansed him. And then over in Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God." See, there is no account of a cleansing of lepers, except for Naaman's account, in all the scriptures until you get to Jesus and his ministry. All the priest could do in this story in Leviticus, all the priest could do was look at him and say, "Yep, you're a leper. Yep, you're unclean." He could proclaim, he could identify the leprosy and declare it to be so and say, "Yeah, you're an unclean person. You know, you've got leprosy. I can tell you that much." And the person would say, "Well, thanks. I appreciate that." But they couldn't do anything for him. But when Jesus came on the scene, there was now someone available for these people that were lepers. They could come now to someone, and as these 10 lepers did, and cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." Because he alone could cleanse from leprosy. We sing, you know, "What can wash away my sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He washes us. He doesn't cure us. He washes us, cleanses us. We're clean, you see. And folks, the sinful heart of man can't be rehabilitated. You can't change it. I don't want my heart to be changed. We sing that, but I'll tell you, I really don't want my heart to be changed. I want it to depart from me, like the leprosy in that man. I don't want a rehabilitated heart. I want a new one. Just like David said, "Create in me a clean heart." That word "create" means create out of nothing. David wasn't asking for a rebuilt heart. He was asking for a new one. And folks, it can't be that my flesh, my sin can be changed or rehabilitated. It has to be reborn. has to be reborn. Well, okay, so once that happens, once you do that, and most of us perhaps will say, well, I've done that. I mean, I've been born again. I'm saved. I did the full leprosy thing. And I asked the Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And he did. I am clean indeed. I need my feet washed once in a while because I'm still in this world and I sin and all that. But once I've done the main thing that you're talking about here and been saved and been cleansed of that leprosy that was going to condemn me to hell, then what happens? What do I do practically then to keep myself from sin, from leprosy? How do I keep it from creeping in again? Because isn't that where most of us perhaps are? Aren't we struggling with leprosy still? The amazing thing is that we have more power over sin than we're willing to admit. You see, the Spirit's been given. The Holy Spirit came to empower us to overcome sin. We don't have to sin. Now, well, why do we sin then? Because we want to. We sin because we want to sin. Well, I don't know about that. I always tell the Lord I'm sorry. And yeah, but then you go sin again. You go right back to it. As soon as you say you're sorry, you won't get any further than the door and you're already sinning again. We're sinners. That's why we sin. But you just said we don't have to sin. You don't. You can make a choice not to sin any given time, any given moment, any given second. There's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to make a choice not to. We just so often choose to do it. So what are you saying? What's the answer then? How can I keep myself from letting this leprosy of the sinfulness in my heart keep creeping in? Well, here's the thing. Look at verse 47 of chapter 13. Over in chapter 13, verse 47, page over or so, towards the end of the chapter, it says this: the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be woolen garment or a linen garment, doesn't make any difference. It says down in verse 52, he shall therefore burn that garment, whether it's in the warp or the woof, woolen or linen or anything that of the skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt with fire. Now this is the thing, folks. The garment that you wear, think about this now. Don't lose me here. Think about this. The garment that you're wearing, it's the part of your attire, it's a part of you that comes into contact with your flesh. Your garment is the part that comes into contact with your flesh, right? You put garments on. It touches your skin. It's the part of you that touches the flesh. That comes into contact with the flesh. And here's what's being said. If that part of your garment, that thing that touches your flesh, if it's leprous, if what comes into contact with you and your flesh is leprous, it needs to be burned. What do you mean? I got to go home and burn my clothes? What are you saying? Well, if your garments are leprous, if what you come into contact with in your flesh is leprous, then burn it. It's the only thing that you can do with it, according to the scriptures. You see, the garments that were leprous, that were infected, that stuff that came into contact with the leper's flesh, if it was leprous too, if it was defiled, then the only thing to do with it was burn it. Not try and clean it up, not patch it up, not put some stuff on it, not try and disinfect it. Burn it. Burn that thing. It's the only remedy, you see, for a leprous garment. You see, and eventually, folks, you know this is so, everything that is not of God, because in God there's no sin, everything that's not of him will burn anyway. correct? So here's the thing. We might as well get started now and start burning that stuff that's infecting our flesh. The part of us that touches the flesh, you see, the garment that touches the flesh. Because all leprosy in my life, in your life, you see, will affect the way that I live, the way I walk, and the worship that I offer up. You see, that's why in Jude, verse 23, Jude says we ought to hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. So often what begins with this small, insignificant, seemingly harmless sin spreads and infects the whole person. How many know that's true? You started something small. You allowed it to be. You let it go. You didn't deal with it. You just kind of keep it aside for yourself. And then what happens? It starts growing. It starts taking over. And it's interesting when you look at Psalm 51, David's classic psalm there that we looked at not too long ago, you'll find, if you'll read through that psalm, that the sin, the leprosy in David's heart, his life, with Bathsheba, with Uriah, it affected every part of his body, if you read that psalm. His eyes, his mind, his ears, his bones, his heart, his mouth. Everything was infected by the time he was done. Now, guys, I got to tell you this. We sin because we want to, but you know what? There are certain types of leprosy that I hate. There are certain types of sin that I hate. And do you know what? I don't deal with those sins any longer. I don't deal with them. They're not something that I wrestle with any longer. But there's other types of leprosy. There's other types of sin that I don't hate. In fact, I'm drawn to them. I'm attracted to them. And as long as I am, then I will be involved with them. And they will infect my whole life, you see. If I don't come to the high priest with them, if I don't come to Jesus with them and ask him, Lord, I want you to reveal to me how sick this is. Because I'm attracted to something that's not right. It's leprosy. I'm attracted, Lord, to this sin. And I have to burn this garment, Lord. I know I have to burn this, but I don't know how. I can't seem to light the match. Because I don't really want to burn it. But here's the thing, that garment, you see, that comes in contact with my flesh, verse 52 tells us it's the priest that burns it. The priest will burn it if you'll bring it. The priest will burn it if you'll bring it. All I have to do is bring it to the priest, you see, bring it to Jesus Christ. And I say, Lord, here it is. I can't even light the match because this sin I don't hate yet. I hate those. I hate those. I hated that. But I don't hate this. I don't hate it. And as long as I don't hate it, it's going to plague me. I'm going to be leprous, you see. See, Jesus is praying for you and me. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them, you and me, to the uttermost that come unto God by him, listen, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He can save you, listen, from any leprosy that you have if you'll come to him. If you'll come to him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, there's that word again, from all unrighteousness. This is great. You see, when I confess my sin, this is why it's so important, guys. People say, well, what's the big deal with confessing sin? Well, here's the big deal. If I confess my sin, it shows me how much I commit that sin. What do you mean? I mean, when I sit down or kneel down or whatever before the Lord and I say, Lord, I confess this sin to you. And if I'm honest and I confess it every time, what happens? Oh boy, here I am again, Lord, for the 800th time. Ah, here I am again, Lord, with that same thing. Here, it shows me, if I confess, it shows me, it reveals to me how much I'm committing that sin. And that will keep you from losing your sensitivity, losing your nerve endings towards sin. Because when I'm shown, when it reveals my heart, because I'm confessing, guys, that will cause me to hate that sin. It causes me to go, ah, I can't stand that. Why do I keep doing it? Well, the Lord would say, you just don't hate it enough yet. You just don't hate it enough. Confess it again. And every time you confess it, I'll show it to you for what it is. I'll show you how sick it is. And before long, you'll start hating it like you hated other sins that you were delivered from. Anybody been delivered from something terrible? Addiction? Do you know why you were delivered? Because you hated it. You hated it. And when I hate sin, like God hates sin, he cleanses it in me. And so often people want to be cleansed, they say, but they don't want to hate sin. Well, I've got news for you. You can't like sin and be cleansed from it. You need to hate it. It needs to repulse you. He cleanses it when I hate. Some of us, you see, have things to burn, folks. And if you can't burn it, go to the high priest. He's got lots of matches. He's got a holy, perpetual fire that burns. He's an all-consuming fire. And he will consume, he will burn up anything that you'll bring him. Even if you don't have the ability to strike the match, just lay it on the altar. It's on fire. Some of us got things to burn. Attitudes, magazines, computer, internet sites. What is it? I don't know. Gossip, selfishness, you name it. Whatever it is, there's something in your life, perhaps there's some leprosy that needs to burn. There's garments that touch your flesh. There's things that come into contact with you that you need to burn. And if you don't hate it, pray that the Lord will cause you to hate it. Pray that he'll show you exactly what it is and reveal to your heart exactly what that sin is so you can go, ah, that's ugly. It's leprous. Blech. It's like an oozing, scabby. Blech. Yeah. You know, you can throw some stuff on there, sugar, and coat it up with something, you know, but underneath it all, it's just a yucky mess, you see. Whatever it might be for you. And when you fail, and you just don't take it to the altar and have it burnt up. If you're saved today, you're saved anyway. But I'll tell you something. This is going to be a good year for you, a blessed time, a blessed week, blessed month, a blessed day. If you'll burn on the altar the sins, the leprosy that God reveals to you, Or listen, you're still saved, you're going to heaven and all the rest, but today, this day, this week, this month, you won't worship God like you ought to. You won't walk with him like you should. And that's the tragedy. you miss out. And listen, God misses out. He doesn't receive glory like he ought to. And guys, I have to say this. The motivation for our lives as believers ought to be for that very reason. Because God gets glory when I do and obey and I lay at his altar the things that are defiled in me. Our sin reveals our need for Jesus Christ. He can pronounce you unclean just like any priest can. Look around. We're all priests. Anybody will tell you. Yep. You're a leper. But only he can say, but be thou clean and cleanse you, you see. He can cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And all you do is come just the way you are, you see. Jesus knows you're a leper. He knows I'm a leper, but he loves you anyway. And maybe, you see, maybe this will be a turning point for you as a believer. Maybe your life as a Christian will take a turn today. I hope so. I pray so. Maybe you're a leper and you've never been cleansed. And if that's so, perhaps today you want to leave here clean, washed, cleansed. Because for your condition, for my condition that I had, there's no cure for it. A leper is desperately wicked and there is no cure. And the heart of a sinner is incurable. And so your destiny as a person who's a sinner without Jesus Christ, your destiny is death, eternally damned and separated from everyone. Just like the leper would be outside the camp, he had to go. You can't be with the rest. It's a lonely existence, and eternally, it's a devastating existence. Completely alone, isolated. You and your thoughts in darkness and heat forever. But here's the wonder of it all. Jesus says, but I came so that you could be cleansed of your leprosy. And all you do is come. You just come. Just say, okay, I'm coming. You mean all I have to do is come? Yep, just come. He's able to save to the uttermost. Do you know what that word means? It means so far out into the stratosphere that we can't measure. It's too vast to understand. He can save you no matter how far you've gone, no matter where you are. The uttermost he's able to save to, but only is he able to do that for those who come. That's all. Are you sick of being a leper? Are you sick enough of it to be cleansed? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and how powerful the cleansing is, how I've experienced, Lord, in my own heart, my own life, that rebirth where every ugly thing that I've ever done and every ugly thing I've ever said and thought was washed in the blood of Jesus. And Father, how it pains my heart when sin rises up in me, when the flesh rises up and sin is present again. I'm grieved over it, Lord. I pray for all of us here that are believers that you would cause us to be sickened by the sin, therefore allowing you to cleanse it, burn it up. Ignite, Lord, the things in my life that are causing me to be defiled. And Lord, for any in here, and while we're all praying and just our heads bowed, I just want to give you an opportunity today. If you're listening today and thinking, you know, I'm not sure I understand all this, but I do understand the part about being a leper. And I'm pretty sure that's what I am, because I'm a sinner and I know that I've done things wrong and I know that there's no way for me to change, and I've tried perhaps on my own, but I don't think you can just be good on your own. If that's what you're thinking and that's what you're concluding, you're right. And there is no cure. I need to say this again. There's no cure for you other than the cleansing that Jesus offers. It's the only thing that's going to save you from eternal damnation. It's the only thing. There's only one name under heaven in which a man can be saved. And that is Jesus. And just like those 10 lepers, you can cry out today, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me, a leper. And he will look at you just like he looked at that leper and said, I will be clean. If you want to make a commitment to Jesus today, he will commit to cleansing you. If you'll commit to him, that you will invite him in, that you will allow him to be your God and save you, he will do so right now, right this minute. One minute you can be lost and going to hell. The next minute you can be saved and going to heaven. It happens just that fast if you're willing and want to come. So if you're here, I want to give you an opportunity. With everybody's head bowed, if you're here and you say, you know, I think I am a leper and I know I'm not curable, I want cleansing from Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If you're here and that's you, I'd just like you to slip your hand up. Anybody who says in their heart, God bless you, I see you there. God bless you, I see you over there. I'm a leper. I see you there. God bless you back there. I want to go to heaven. Tired of being sick. Anybody else? Anyone at all? Lord, I thank you for cleansing work. I pray, Father, for your hand, mercy, and cleansing to be upon these that have lifted their hands and in their hearts, Lord, crying out. And those of you that lifted your hands this morning, I want to encourage you to say this simple prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul. Cry out to him, and he will save you and cleanse you. You can't begin to walk with the Lord until you've done that and committed yourself to allowing him to come in and cleanse your life, walk with you, bless your life. Father, I pray your sealing now with the Holy Spirit upon these. Cover them, Lord, and begin to minister deeply into their lives. And as they read their Bible and as they begin to take in Bible study and perhaps, Lord, begin to worship and find out what that's all about. What an awesome thing. Lord, just be sealing and walking with them and leading them, Lord, in ways. Bring others alongside them to encourage their hearts. And bless us all today, Lord, as we desire to be cleansed. Help us, Lord, to see sin for what it is, and to come to you with it. And you, with your holy consuming fire, burn it up. Bless you for that. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thanks for your word. Thanks for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God